Welcome to the Edu All-Stars Podcast.
Hey guys, and welcome to the 66th episode of Edu All-Stars. My name is Todd Nesloni, and you can find me on Twitter at TechNinjaTodd.
My name is Chris Kessler. You can find me on Twitter at IamKessler. Just want to thank everyone for tuning in this evening. We've got a special early edition due to the time zone change, so we really appreciate that.
And we are so proud to say that this week's episode is sponsored by Miami Device. Miami Device is going to be an amazing two-day conference on November 6th and 7th in sunny South Florida. The lineup of keynote speakers and featured speakers is unlike any other. You'll definitely want to check it out. So you can go to miamidevice.org or check them out on Twitter at Miami Device, and hopefully we'll see you there.
Yeah, I was just poking around miamidevice.org earlier, and that keynote list was amazing. Got some really good talent coming from all over the country, so including Todd. So that's good. And as you listen to this week's episode, we encourage you to tweet out using the hashtag EduAllStars. We like seeing those conversations. And you can also leave comments on the show notes as well as in iTunes.
Well, we are really excited about this week's guest, who is Yngvi Ómarsson. He is an educator, entrepreneur, tech coach, and more from Iceland. And so he's also the creator of the brand new app called Book Recorder. So welcome, Yngvi, to the show.
Thanks.
What time is it where you are right now?
It's 10 p.m.
Well, we appreciate you staying up a little late to chat with us, even though it's really early where we are.
Yeah, it's very dark out now.
Yeah.
We only have, it's the light's turning now. It's been light all summer. So in June we have light 24/7. We have the sun out the entire day and all night. And now it's turning a bit, so it changes about now.
It's starting to get dark. Hey, Todd, I noticed you skipped right over the pronunciation of the city in Iceland.
I wasn't even going to try to do that one. How do you pronounce that, Yngvi?
We say Sölakrokur.
Okay. I'll just let you pronounce it.
The easy version would be soda cracker.
Okay.
Soda cracker.
Yeah. I can do that.
Yeah. So
Yngvi, tell us a little bit about your background and how you got into education.
I'm 28 now. I went to the University of Iceland to study to become a teacher in 2007. Graduated there in 2010. Absolutely loved it. It was just something that all my friends were doing something different, to jobs that, I looked for jobs that, I could get a lot of money, but instead I looked for something that I knew I wanted to do. So I went into the education school in Iceland, University of Iceland, and went there, graduated, taught for 3 years at my local school here in town, went back, and was the first guy that went to Apple here in Iceland. As soon as the iPad came out, I went to them and said, I want this for my classroom. I want the iPads right here. And they were like, what are you talking about? They had no idea. All right. And I said, this is what I want. Taught for 3 years. The last year, we got iPads one-to-one for my entire class of third graders. And that went, it was just an awesome experience. It was really cool. And we did that for a year. And then I got into Lund University in Sweden to do my master's in entrepreneurship. I couldn't say no to that. Went there and graduated now this summer or in June, and was offered a position as a tech coordinator at a school district here in Iceland. So awesome. Now I'm working here.
So is being an entrepreneur something you've always kind of just in the back of your head, that's just who you are by your DNA as an entrepreneur?
I guess. I mean, I never thought about it that way, but when I was looking for stuff to do my master's and it was the only thing I applied for. This is what I wanted to do right now. I never considered myself to be an entrepreneur, but I guess I am. in a way.
So you weren't the kid selling your cookies out of your school lunch for, you know, twice. It was twice the value.
No, not really, no. More of doing, like, social entrepreneurship things, stuff for the community and working that kind of, instead of the traditional entrepreneur where he wants to make a lot of money. And
So what does that curriculum look like as, like, a master's program? What kind of classes are you taking in entrepreneurship?
It's really cool. We're only 28 people that got in. We're 2,000 or something applicants. And for some reason, I got in. I just think they needed an Icelander or something. I thought it just looked cool. I don't know how I got in. But I did, and it's really cool. Before... We do the first part of it is just classes about finance and finding opportunity recognition and that kind of stuff. And then the second part of it is one of it is doing an essay, a thesis.
I think a thesis, yeah. Mm-hmm.
And half of it is a thesis, and the other half is a project we do. And what I did with two of my friends that I met in there was we did an app for education. So we did an app called Book Recorder, and it's really cool. And it's it was really cool because we got to in the program, the entrepreneurship program, we got to meet a lot of different people. So we were people from different backgrounds. So I was the only teacher there, and there were people with. Technology backgrounds, people with like all kinds of engineering, lawyers, just all kinds of people. And I met two guys that are really cool and were able to work with me on Book Recorder. One is a graphic designer, the other is a programmer.
Oh, perfect. So, match.
Hungary, and the other one's from Thailand. So the three of us, Iceland, Thailand, and Hungary, got together and we just said, let's do something cool, and we decided to do an app, and which is now available in the App Store.
That's super cool.
Yeah, so it was really an awesome experience, you know, something completely different.
Mm-hmm.
So
you mentioned teaching in Iceland, and then you went to school in Sweden.
Mm-hmm.
When you were working in those different environments, I know that for us here in the United States, we see different education that happens from state to state. I mean, we're all pretty much similar, but when you're in smaller countries, I know that us going from state to state is like y'all going from country to country. Mm-hmm. Do you notice large differences in the educational systems that exist within each country?
It's a good question. It's the difference between Iceland and, for instance, Sweden. I mean, Sweden and Iceland are pretty similar. Sweden, Iceland, Denmark, Norway, and Finland. Like, those Nordic countries are very similar. But what's different is Iceland is so small that we don't offer entrepreneurship for us to do. And so we have to go abroad to do something like that. We have to go somewhere else. So, I mean, the education system is pretty similar once you go to university. But it's bigger scale and a lot more variety of classes that you can take in Sweden.
Right.
So that's why I went there.
Just going back to your classroom for a bit, like, what are some of the creative ways that you kind of use technology in your classroom? I know you said you got iPads right at the tail end of your, you know, being in the classroom, but like, what kind of stuff were you doing with the iPads?
We were doing all kinds of stuff. I mean, we had one-to-one, so all my students had iPads, and they were doing all kinds of cool stuff. We collaborated, for instance, with a class in Chicago. We did with using Book Creator, so we did a page with about our town, and they like these are cars that we use in our town in Iceland, and then the kids in Chicago went out, took pictures of cars and transportation in Chicago. Then we did the next page was these are our houses, these are our homes, and we wrote it in Icelandic, and then they wrote the next page about their homes in Chicago, and then pets.
Oh, cool.
And so we did all kinds of stuff like that. All of my kids had blogs, for instance. So they were blogging regularly. We were, it was just really cool. And I wish I would have stayed longer there but the opportunity to go to entrepreneurship just came up so quickly. And we only managed to do it for a year.
Have you lived in Iceland all your life?
No, I lived in the States. I lived in Chicago for a year. I was there.
I was going to say, because your English is very good, and I don't know if – because I know that when I talked to somebody from Sweden about a year or two ago, they said English is one of the subjects that every kid learns, and so yeah. I just didn't know if that was the same with Iceland or
– Yeah, yeah, yeah. English is our second language, basically.
Okay.
Yeah. So I lived in Chicago. I lived in Sweden. I studied in Denmark as well. And so I've been, you know, to a few countries to study. So, yeah, I lived in Chicago in 2004 and 2005 as an exchange student. So that was it. That was fantastic. It was a great experience. Yeah, so we've been doing a lot of cool stuff. So now I'm at the same school that I started in, working in the school district now. So I'm working with more schools here. And we're looking at ways to incorporate technology into our classroom and what we can do. And the thing is that we're doing at the moment is taking it slow. I'm talking to teachers. I'm trying to get them to the mindset of like, how do we change, like, how we have to change the culture of the schools first, and like the mindset of teachers, because otherwise it's just going to be very expensive, you know, worksheets. The iPad's just going to be something like that. Mm-hmm. If we're not going to change what we're going to be doing, then so I'm working on that first and foremost at the moment. We're you know, trying to put in more of a professional development and culture in the school and for all the staff to be lead learners. That's a concept I'm really, really passionate about at the moment. And so everybody's learning at the school, not just the kids.
Cool.
Yeah.
So Yngve, you would be somebody that we would consider to be a connected educator. I know that you're active on social media like Twitter. Mm-hmm. What has that journey been like for you? When did you decide to start connecting via those social media avenues in a more professional manner?
Well, yeah, that's a good question. It was when we started with the iPads, because then I felt really alone. I felt like I was, because there was no one in my school doing it, no one in my district doing it. And very few schools in Iceland, so I felt very isolated. And, you know, one being in the north of Iceland, in a town of 3,000, you know, so that was one. And then doing something that no one else was doing around me. So I started, you know, looking at Twitter, looking at especially Twitter, and how I could connect with people doing similar things around the world. And it just completely transformed what I'm doing.
Awesome.
So Todd added this question, I don't know, about a dozen episodes ago, and I really like this particular question, and kind of bring yourself back into the classroom. How did you motivate those students that were unmotivated, I guess is what you would say, the ones that, you know, weren't really interested in school? How did you work to get those kids excited?
Well, connect with them and you know, go and talk to them. And I loved, I heard you guys were talking about it earlier in one of your episodes when somebody called home and the kid heard when you were calling home. Was that you?
Mm-hmm. So, yeah. I think we've both done that.
Yeah. It's things like that. I mean, the kids that weren't motivated were often kids that were acting up or were in trouble in some ways. I really tried to get them with me, and like we were always like I was getting the parents always involved. We had open days where parents were always invited in. We had a class blog. We had all these kinds of things. Like every day we would tell about our day, what we were doing, getting the parents in, and just trying to work with the entire community. We get them excited about learning, you know. And trying to do something different as well. It wasn't one size fits all. It was trying to do, you know, and having the kids, they had a voice and they had a choice about what they were doing as well. You know, it wasn't always you should write a story about this. You know, it was more like what do you want to write about or what do you want to do? And you know, not you know, having them, we're going together. You know, so that was I think that was.
Awesome.
What we're trying to do.
So you mentioned this earlier, but tell us more about this Book Recorder app and how it came to be, what it is, everything like that.
All right, yeah. That was with the iPads. One of the things I was doing is, have you heard of the Daily Five? That hadn't been, so I took that book and I translated it to Icelandic and used it in my class. And one of the things we were doing was, it's listen to reading. That's one of the elements. One of the five elements is listening to reading. And I realized that there weren't any books available for kids to listen to, like audiobooks in Icelandic. We have only 330,000 people, and we have our own language. So getting books, good books, quality books in Icelandic was really tough. So I only had a few. I had like 20 Disney books that were in Icelandic or something. And I figured, well, what if we just record our own? So we do one of the elements is recording a book, and the other one is listening to that book. So I figured there must be an app for recording your own, you know, your own audiobook. And there wasn't really a good one to do it. So I always had that. So we were trying with different apps. We were trying, like, recording when they were reading their own books. So they take a book off the shelf, and they read it and record it, and, you know, and then they play it later to somebody else. And we were trying to do a class library of books. And there wasn't really a good app. So I always had that in mind. So when we were trying to figure out something to do, I told the guys, I was like, this is something that I'd use in my classroom. And I found an app that was not good back in 2012. Not that good. It worked, but it was static and it didn't look good at all. So we used that, but within a month we had 60 audiobooks all of a sudden for the kids to use. Like in a month they had recorded 60 books. They were recording stuff at home as well. So you know, and I thought it was just such a cool tool. The kids were so excited about recording, practicing at home, taking this book, their favorite book, and it could fit all of my students. You know, somebody would read an easy book, their favorite book, go help out. You know, their parents were helping them out, and I just thought it was a really cool thing. So, and it was easy enough for us to start with. You know, do something very simple at the moment. So we went with it, and we just started doing it. I did the two guys that I was working with did most of the work. I almost did nothing in it. I was like, yeah, this is what I want, and they did it. Those guys are amazing, the guys that I was working with, and still am. And it was just, it was really, I hope my teachers in Sweden are not listening to this.
Yeah, that's right.
It was basically like that. I just told them what I wanted, what we needed for school, and they did it. You know, that was.
I just watched the video right before we got one on the air this evening, and it's very cool. Where's the website that they can go to find that?
Hold on. Can I share the screen?
Sure.
Possibility?
Yeah.
Hold on.
Yeah, sure.
I think I have it somewhere. Is that it? Can you see it?
Yes. No?
There it is. Yeah. There.
So it's bookrecorder.com.
Awesome.
And the guys did this. I just told them what it should look like.
Yeah, yeah, that's the one I watched right there, the Vimeo video.
Yeah, so, but we recorded this. I got a filmmaker, a friend of mine here in town, and we did this summer, recorded cool. This. And so, yeah, it's a cool process. I mean, it's not, yeah, it's been really cool to do this.
Yeah, the app looks very it looks awesome. I mean, it looks great. The interface looks really nice. It looks very user friendly, kid friendly, and that's super cool.
Yeah, that's because I was working with good people.
That always helps.
That helps. Yeah.
So think about back to when you you know, I don't know if you have rough days or not. Yeah, I'm sure you do. I'm sure you have rough days.
Yeah.
It's about to be dark 24 hours a day. It's going to be rough.
Exactly.
So when you're having a really rough day, like, what do you do to, like, recenter yourself?
I play soccer. I play football. Cool. We call it football. So I do that. I've been playing in the first division in Iceland. So the season just finished yesterday, last night. Cool. That's good getting out and playing football for a few hours every night with your friends. What else? Yoga and just, you know, reading as well. Since I'm doing something that I absolutely love, then I didn't read before. I didn't read that much until I found my passion, which was education. And now I can read, you know, for hours and hours, you know, on something that I'm passionate about.
Yeah, you know? Definitely. So when it does get dark there, like during the day, I mean, you guys, I mean, obviously that comes with cold weather as well. So you're probably not outside that much, but I mean, does it get to you or not?
We kind of build
you're
an immune
system. You're used to it. Yeah, you're used. You're so used to it, right?
During the summer, you collect all the sunlight you can get. You know, stay out late, you know, you try to get as much sun as you can.
Yeah.
And when it gets to December 21st, when it's like an hour of sunlight or something, then
right. You
take vitamin C and cod liver oil and you try to stay healthy and just... You know, but it's cool. I found the friend of mine that did the video. He also did a time lapse video. Can you see that?
It's still loading there. There you go. Yeah.
Yeah. He was doing a time lapse video of my town and the area that we're living in.
Wow.
Very cool.
You see that?
Yeah.
Yeah. This is the guy that was doing the video for me. He's absolutely amazing as well.
It's beautiful though to get to see that kind of stuff.
And he's gonna do a new one, and this is what's happening at the moment in Iceland. You heard about that?
I was just gonna ask about, as a science teacher, I was gonna ask if you had any volcano news for us.
Yeah. We got 1,000 earthquakes a week now.
Unbelievable.
Yeah.
So. How far are you away from that? You said you were way up north. I don't know where the main the whole island's a volcano, I guess. But isn't that further south or not?
I haven't felt any earthquakes yet. Okay. It's about we'd go east from here. It's about 4 hours probably.
Cool.
4 hours east, and that's where this is happening.
Wow, that's amazing.
But no, people aren't allowed there except reporters and stuff. So
yeah.
Thankfully. But it was volcanic ash over here for last week. It was blowing over here.
Oh,
so
I'm sure.
The windows and everything out here. So, but it's all right.
Does it cover everything?
What's that?
Does it cover everything? Like when that ash blows over?
It's just misty. It's like fog. And we were looking outside. We were like, is that fog or is it volcanic ash? Right. Should we close our windows and stay inside or what? And then. Yeah, it's just foggy. It doesn't happen often, don't worry.
There's some amazing views from like satellites that show Iceland with the volcanic ash. You know, they have to change flight patterns and stuff, so they can't fly over Iceland because of all that, it can mess up the engines. Anyway, I find it fascinating. I'm a huge like kind of geology nerd, so.
Yeah, be cool to connect with a class in somewhere else.
Yeah, like, for sure.
Because I know I get a lot of emails about that now and connecting classrooms and learning about this and that. So that would be cool to do.
Yeah, I may reach out to you in the spring when we start doing our geology.
Yeah, definitely. Cool.
So, Yngvi, what has been the biggest thing that you think you've learned in the last year?
That I don't know everything, and but I do know that I can learn anything. That's a big thing.
When I was thinking about this earlier this week, like, when did you find out that's how you were? Because for me, it wasn't until like I was in my 30s. Like I didn't, you know, when I wasn't very resourceful as a high school student, even as a college student, like I got by, but it wasn't until like maybe, and I'm 40 now, so like really like last year, not really, but you know, but like into my 30s where I was like, you know what, I don't know everything, but I can find out, and that matters, you know.
It just happened once, you know, I would start using technology more in my, you know, when I was teaching. It just completely transformed it. And using Twitter as well, connecting with people all over Iceland, I now host the Icelandic Educational Twitter Chat every other Sunday.
Cool.
We're doing that, and actually, I haven't told anyone this except for one guy. We're working on doing a podcast in Iceland, an educational podcast as well.
Cool. Very cool.
So similar to you guys, which is awesome. Influenced by what you guys are doing.
Awesome. Appreciate
so we're
that.
Doing that. Every other week now. So we're starting that next Monday, and you're the first two people that I tell about that.
Awesome. Well, that's awesome. Listening,
so so that's really cool.
Thousands of other people also know now. So
yeah. So now it's out there. Now we have to do it.
There
so,
you go.
Yeah. So talk about accountability. Yeah. So what's something like some advice that your current self would kind of give your new teacher self? Like,
what advice? I don't know. I think in the beginning when I was starting to teach, I was very, you know, to myself. I didn't work very well with. I work well with other people, but somehow I just figured out. I didn't do well enough working with other teachers in my school. We got along great. I was, you know, we get along great, but somehow what was happening in my classroom kind of just, you know, I didn't want to wait for anybody else. And that, you know, but again, I wasn't helping anyone else to reach their full potential, like doing something and, you know, helping them out, you know, taking, so I could have taken a little bit more time and gotten more people with me, you know what I mean? So instead of just going alone, you know, and then not, you know, I wish I would have, you know, worked better with other people, how I was doing the things, and not thinking everything I was doing was right, you know, this is right, and instead of just more working with other people and get other teachers' experience, learn from them, but still kind of follow what I think is right, and just, you know, it was that balance that I see now that I didn't do well enough, kind of. Cool. You know, that's one of the things.
Well, you know, Yngwie, one thing we always like to end on when we are doing these shows is to ask our guests something that they are really passionate about right now. So what's something that you would say you are really passionate about?
What I'm really passionate about at the moment is the lead learner concept that everyone at the school should be learning, you know, that's, and I'm trying to get that to the schools. We're doing something called Professional Thursdays, where half an hour a week we meet and we discuss something on education, an article, a video, a book or something. So trying to elevate the discussion to a more professional level. So I think once we do that, then we can start talking about technology. Then we can start talking about once we build like and get a good basis for what we're doing, and then talk about that and criticize and you know, kind of there should be conflict as well. We should you know, we need to have that to, you know, argue and like to build trust as well. Mm-hmm. And that's something, you know, I'm now at the moment, when I'm at school, I try to read every day. Even though I'm at work, I try to sit down and read for like a half an hour, a book or something. And I do it in the library, or I do it out in the sofas where the kids hang out as well. Because I want to be a role model for them to show them that reading, this is what we do, this is important, and try to be a role model that they see that we're not just telling them, you should go and read, but we actually are doing it. We're learning as well, and I think that. I mean, I'm very passionate about that at the moment. Everything we're talking about in regards to the school of the future, like what's happening, why schools. I'm really interested in Will Richardson at the moment, what he's saying about why schools. Everything Sir Ken Robinson says, I think, is almost everything he says is really good. So I mean that's and also there's one app that I'm really, really excited about and have been for a year. It's called 1 Second Every Day. Have you heard of that?
Mm-hmm. Is that the picture app? Is that the video app or
the video app? Yeah, you take a video every day and then you go and edit it and you pick out 1 second from every day and it compiles a video of the year, and that's what I've been doing for the last year now. And I think that's really exciting as well, because that makes me, you know, go out and just go like, yeah, I'll go to that concert. You know, I'll do that because you want to get
because you want to get that second. Yeah,
it kind of pushes you to do fun things as well. So I'm always I'm recording this year as a whole, and going to publish the 4 minutes or whatever it's going to be, 5 minutes, six minutes of this year, and I'm really excited about that as well because that's it. I've done a lot of cool stuff just because of that, you know.
Yeah, that's cool. That's something fun you could do with your classes too. That would be, I never even considered that, but that would be a lot of fun. The kids would love that at the end of the year, you know.
Yeah,
it's a really good idea. So,
well, cool, man. Ingvi, I appreciate it, like staying up late for us, and I know that you know, tomorrow's a work day, and we still have a few hours of freedom before we have to go to sleep and everything. But yeah, we appreciate you staying up late. And how can people connect with you?
They can do it through Twitter, and it would probably be the best way. I'm I'm on Twitter at Ingvi Omarsson, or they can go to my website, Ingvihrannar, Ingvihrannar.com, and they can contact me through there if they want to. Those are probably the best ways to do it, or they can just come to Iceland and meet me there.
Come hang out, right?
There we go. There we go.
that's the invite I was waiting for. So. you can connect with us on Twitter at EduAllStarsHQ, and we use the website eduallstars.com/podcast. You can find all 65 episodes of EduAllStars, and then on iTunes you can search out EduAllStars with no spaces and find all the previous episodes as well.
And we will be taking next Sunday off, as I will be on a plane returning from D.C. where the BAMI Awards are taking place. But you can join us every Sunday at 8 p.m. Central in October with guests like Don Wetrick, Nathan Barber, Colby Sharp, and Ginny Bukos. So make sure you keep tuning in. And don't forget to visit miamidevice.org and check out the speakers, sessions, and everything else that's going to be for sure the EdTech event of the year, or follow them on Twitter at miamidevice. Thanks again, Ingvi. We really appreciate it, and it was great chatting with you.
Yeah, thanks so much, guys.
Right, thanks.